Yes, God, we do want to offer our praise for that wonderful story that is the story through history, but is our story when we trust Jesus. We love you. Once again, we lay our lives before you. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Well, it's lovely to be with you, and I'm not sure if you managed to get a little break over the summer season, but the 1st of September is here. I'm not sure for you whether September feels like the start of a new year. Sometimes in January you feel January officially is the start of a new year, but I know as we start September, for some people, maybe you're starting a new job. For some people, maybe your children are going to school for the first time. Maybe they're going to secondary school for the first time. Maybe as they've gone off to university. And sometimes there's life changes. Maybe you're going off just yourself to university in a couple of weeks. And I know when there's kind of life changes in September, it is quite a good time to reflect. Having had a little kind of summary, kind of laid-backness, to say, actually, let's reflect on life. And that's why this month of September, we're looking at this series. And again, you might think it's quite a negative term, isn't it? Loser, kind of that thing, that kind of where going around and you find yourself, loser. And I remember the boys watched a film called Dodgeball. Is anybody called watch Dodgeball? And they had this they were doing the L, and this the wife to the husband, I think it was, and he didn't quite know what it meant. And so his friend said, it means L for love, kind of. It's L for love. So in our house, it was L for love was quite often a thing that we do to one another. But loser, what is it to be a loser? And this derogatory term that says, kind of, there are people in life who are winners and life seems to be going well, and there's people who are, you're a loser. Actually, somehow life has not gone for you. How it should, you've missed out. You're below par. You're substandard. That kind of you're not normal. And there's this idea of being a loser is a very negative term. And you think, well, why do we want to do a series entitled Loser? Well, actually, there's something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God turns upside down what we see as kind of the worldly values. The kingdom values says, actually, if you truly want to win, if you truly want to gain something from life, you need to lose. Actually, you need to lose something in order to win something. And here's the words that Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, talking about this. He said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the high priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed. Actually, that sounds like a loser, doesn't it? Just someone who's arrested, kind of tortured, rejected, killed, loser. And on the third day, will be raised to life. And he said to them all, whoever of you wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? I mean, interesting words of Jesus, isn't it? Because and how do those words spoken 2,000 years ago affect us who live in 21st century Western culture? And I think they have something profound to say, because the world that we live in is all about gain. It's all about how can you make more money? It's about finances. It's about how do these projects kind of work? How do they make money? How do I earn money? How do I get more stuff? It's about how do I gain status? How do I gain privilege? How do I gain significance? It's about how do I gain family? How do I gain relationships? How do I gain love? It's about how do I gain fulfillment? How do I gain happiness? And there's a whole industry, a media industry, that's trying to work out, to through getting people's money, to help them to gain these things. And Jesus says, actually, if you're working your life just to get more and more, all for me, all for my happiness, all for my pleasure, all for more, actually, what use is it if you gain all that stuff, and yet somewhere in the core of who you are, you're a lost person? Somehow in the core of who you are, actually, the life is just, it's frittering through your fingers. It's just dust. It's nothingness. You may think you've gained all that the world has to offer, but on the inside, you know you're a loser. You've lost out on what life was truly meant to be. And these are the words of Jesus, and these words of Jesus spoken to those first followers. Those first followers of Jesus, when they heard his words, when they decided to follow him, do you know what kind of life they got? It looked like it was a loser's life. It looked like when you decided to become a Christian, you were persecuted. You were tortured. When you became a Christian, in all likelihood, your possessions could be confiscated. You could lose your freedom, be imprisoned. For many of those first Christians, they actually physically were put to death and lost their lives. So you might say, well, kind of why? Why would those first followers of Jesus want to do that? Actually, why now, even today, in parts of the world where churches are persecuted, where Christians are losing their life because they believe in Jesus, why would they want to do that? Because we're taught to be comfort, we're taught to self-protect, we're taught to defend our rights. And here these people lost their freedom, their livelihoods, their lives. Why? Because they'd found something. They'd found something they could not lose. They found a relationship with Jesus. And that relationship with Jesus was so phenomenal, was so life transformational. That life with Jesus connected them with God, who created the universe and the world, who could be their Heavenly Father. They found something so profound, so dramatic, so incredible. They won that, even though they lost this. And when we look at our lives, and we look at our church, and we look at the church in the West, I wonder if we've lost something of that first challenge of Jesus. I wonder if we've lost that because actually we've turned into, what can Christianity do for me? Actually, what can Christianity do for me? How can Christianity help me? How can Christianity support me? How can a faith in Jesus remove my sense of guilt and shame and failure? Which it does. How can Christianity give me peace when I'm feeling anxious? Which it does. How can Christianity come and bring me physical healing to my body when it's sick? Which it does. But we can have an orientation which is all about, how can I get blessed? How can I gain? And some people enter Christianity from what they can get out of it. And Jesus is saying here is, actually, if you want to be my follower, there is gain, but the pathway to gain is, take up your cross daily and follow me. The pathway is not ease, simplicity, kind of blessedness, no pain, everything's fine once you become a Christian. He's saying, actually, become a Christian, you'll find life as it's truly meant to be, but there will be, along the way, something that means you have to be determined. You have to deny the way that the world's leading you, and you have to give yourself to following him. And Jesus says, if you do that, you will find a life that's a true life. I'm not sure if you ever reflect on your life and wonder what it's like. I went up to Lancaster last week early in the morning, cup of tea with my mum, just chatting with my mum about life. She's 84, soon to be 85. And she was just chatting about kind of friends that I knew when I was small. And she was saying, oh, this person, they're now in an old people's home. This person's in a mobility scooter. And she's saying kind of all these sad kind of things that happened to people that she knew. And then she looked at me and said, but Tim, I'm still finding that Jesus is here with me, and I'm still enjoying life. And if you've kind of, yes, sometimes I say stories about my mum, but when my dad died, she was only 60, and she thought that was the end of kind of life. She'd been helping with church, she'd been seeing people become Christians, she'd seen lots of people getting healed, but kind of when dad died, she thought, actually, that's the end of life for me. But God had other plans for her, and she just decided that she was going to give her life, like Jesus said, for him and for the kingdom. And she started off helping with the homeless project, then she decided she'd go and visit in a prison, in Lancaster prison, to help kind of inmates with learning English. She found that when they came out, quite often they would go back into crime. So she bought a little kind of two up, two down, a kind of terraced house in Lancaster. And when people came out from prison, who she got to know, they could live there. And she would help them get a job. And each morning, she would text them a verse from the Bible. And so that when they woke in the morning, the first thing they got on their phone was a little message from my mum saying, here's what God thinks about you. She went over to Peru and met some street kids and set up an orphanage and raised them the money in the UK to build an orphanage. She helped with a school for children with special needs, that when there was a new policy from the Peruvian government that the Peru schools had to be named after somebody that they admired, there's now a little school in the Amazon jungle called the Rosemary Dobson School. She has worked with children in need until recently. She was doing the street passes out till 1 and 2 in the morning, serving cups of tea to those who are students and coming out of the clubs. And she's lived a life that is for Jesus. And we were sat there, and she was just, do you know what? It's a great life. A life that's led for Jesus, that is sacrificial, it's a great life. I was doing a little interview because Nigel and Rachel put together a little Woody's podcast, and for the October or November edition, there's a little interview with my mum. And so one of the things I asked was, Mum, how come when you started life, my mum was born in 1935, just before the war, and she was born with spina bifida, and she had two of her vertebrae missing. And so when she was born, her spine had come out from her backbone. It was about the size of a fist. And the medical people said, well, just let her die, because there wasn't any kind of... But my granny said, nope, I'm going to fight for her. And so she didn't walk until she was 4. She left school without any education. Talking to her, her dad was really cruel to her. I mean, look, she didn't know why or what was going on. Now she realized it was kind of abuse. And I said to Mum, how come somebody who starts off life... spina bifida, not able to walk to their 4, leaving school at 15, no education, abused by a parent. Actually, in life, those kind of people would be deemed to be losers. Actually, those kind of people actually probably would hobble through life, maybe. How come, Mum, something changed for you? And you probably can't hear it on the podcast, but her eyes lit up and she said, when I was 35, I met Jesus. I met Jesus, and there was just this encounter with the Holy Spirit, and things changed. And she tells a few little stories of what that meant. And that's what Jesus is saying here. In life, you may feel you're a loser, but encountering Jesus, you find life. Life that's true, life that's real, life that means something. And I wonder when we live our little lives that are about us, our little lives about getting through our own little kind of things. And Jesus is saying, if you want to find life that's a true life, you need to come to the cross. You need to lose your agenda, your drives. Find the lordship of Jesus that touches your life. And when you find that, you find a life that has meaning. You find a life that has significance, that resonates into eternity. And it just pains me sometimes to see Christians who are living a half-hearted, lukewarm kind of life, because I think Jesus has so much more for us. He's won on the cross. In a moment, we're going to share communion. He's won on the cross a life for you that's a vital life, a resilient life, a life that gives destiny and purpose to my mum, who is the bottom of the pile, has changed so many lives. And I wonder whether the start of September, when we look at our own lives and say, do I analyse, am I a winner or am I a loser? What's it mean to lay my life down? Paul, the Apostle Paul, just gives some practical tips. Here's some practical things. If this morning you think, do you know what, I want my life to have significance because of Jesus. I don't want to lose in life. I don't want to waste my life. Paul gives some very practical things. How can you be the kind of Christian that takes up your cross daily and follows Jesus? He says this because he thought he'd gained so much through being a great Hebrew kind of Pharisee law keeper. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ, God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Paul's giving us, what is it to gain? What is loss? What is it to pursue? And at the age of 14, for myself, I just decided, you know, I've only got one life to live. I want to live it for Jesus. I want to live it with him being in charge, him being in control, him being the Lord, him being the one that kind of shapes my choices and my direction in life. And I would say for myself again, since the age of 14, I have found a life that's a God-given, inspired kind of life. And Paul says here, there's two things. In order to live that kind of taking up your cross daily and following him, there's two things to do. First is that it's a change of perspective. He says there's a change, that there's a worldview that needs to kind of, what is profit and what is loss? How do you define that? And before, he would define profit as this: I've got my religion, I've got my law, I'm doing my best, I'm working my hardest, I've got status, I've got privilege, I've got authority, I've got power. That is profit. People who don't have what I've got, they're losers. And then he encounters Jesus. And as he encounters Jesus, there's a change of perspective. A change of perspective. And suddenly he realizes, actually, the real profit is through simple faith and trust. I find this new life that's given to me, this eternal life that's given to me, undeserved. I find that there's peace and there's hope, that the Holy Spirit is there for me. Actually, that is profit. And actually, people who don't have Jesus, people who don't know him, actually, they're the losers. But it took in his mind a change of perspective. And I wonder for some of you this morning whether it's time for a change of perspective. What do you define as wins? What do you define as success? What do you define as gain? What do you define as advancing? Kind of, and how is that under the Lordship of Jesus? How is that under his direction, his ambitions, his hopes for your life? When Paul had a change of perspective, he found a new kind of life to live. And maybe some of you are here this morning, maybe you're here as a guest and a visitor, maybe some of this stuff you think, I'm not quite sure if I understand that. But inside you know that at the moment it feels you're lost. It feels like, although on the outside you might be gaining, you might be succeeding, on the inside you feel a bit like a loser. You feel as though you've lost something in life. And maybe this morning as we come to take communion, it's time for you to change perspective. To stop living life with you in control. You setting the pace. You making the mistakes and the heartbreak that come maybe in the kind of in the wake of your selfishness and saying, I want to come to you, Jesus, to find you, to find life. But the second thing he says, it's about how do we live a life that is wholeheartedly for Jesus, losing so that we gain. And he's talked about pressing on. We need to press on. He says here, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal. He says, one thing I do, and then he says two things. One thing I do, I forget what's behind and I strain towards what's ahead. And actually, I think it is one thing. We have made a mess of our lives, all of us. We endeavor to be a Christian and we let ourselves down. And we can be bound by that sense of guilt, of failure, of can God really love me? Can I ever be a good Christian? And if, as long as we're always looking in that direction, we'll be absorbed into that. But as soon as we know that we're straining for something, actually we're straining for something, we're standing at the cross. The cross forgives us. The cross deals with our past. Actually, we can forget it. As far as the east is from the west, God's taken our sins from us. We can forget what's behind us, the past and the mistakes. And we can strain forwards to the future. Saying, Jesus, what's on your heart? Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to do today, this week, tomorrow? And it's in fact, it's one action to forget what's behind as we strain towards what's... And Paul says, there's a life in Jesus to strain towards. There's a goal. There's a prize. And I wonder how many of us have lost that sense of pressing on, lost that sense of straining, that sense of determination, of not that we can earn God's love, but there's something about being active and conscious in the way that we choose to orientate our lives that will help us to be those that die to self at the cross and live for that eternal kind of life that starts now. And I wonder whether, as we come to communion now, as we come to pray, I wonder for some of you, you've lost that sense of straining. Not that you earn, and not as though it's a kind of credit, but it's the sense of, I need to lose my, I need to die daily. When Jesus says, take up your cross daily, it's a very kind of weird thing. It's not take up a little cross on a chain, it's take up a cross where people are executed. And so carry that around, because there's something that needs to die. Your old life needs to die. Your selfishness, your lust, your greed, your anger, actually that needs to die. Take your cross to remind you that you die to self, because there's a new kind of life to live. Just as I finish, Paul says these two things in verse 17 of chapter 3 of Philippians. He says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. How can you be a winner and not a loser? Actually, there's something about it. He says, join with other people. Actually, the message that we frequently get from our workplace, from the media, is winning equals this. It's gain, it's money, it's success, it's status. Actually, how can you maintain what it is to live losing your life? Actually, you need to be with like-minded people. You need people around you. Join with other people who have this kind of mindset as well. Which is why at the start of September, it'd be fantastic if you're not part of a midweek group or a prayer triplet or even just a kind of a mentoring relationship. Actually, find a little group of people who want to live for Jesus wholeheartedly. Because if you join with them, you're more likely to live a life that's Jesus-honoring than if you try to do it by yourself. And the last thing he says is, keep your eye on those who live as we do. Actually, who is your model? Who's your hero? And you might say, well, it's Jesus. Of course it's Jesus. But I know for my mum, actually, when I grew up, I want to be like my mum. I mean, because I see in somebody, here's somebody who's trying to follow Jesus, give it all up for him. And I see the consequences of those choices. And again, I need to be with other people, and I need to keep my eye on those who I think have got the plot. They've got the story of what Jesus intended. You've got one life to live. Are you going to waste it or lose it? Actually, it's easy to waste it. Days go by. There's a box set that needs to be watched. Norwich City, they need to be supported. There's things, I mean, life goes on. And you can fritter it away. Or you can lose it. You can actually choose to lose it for Jesus, for his kingdom. And if you do, you find a life that's vital, that's eternal. Let's pray. And just as we pray, and as we come to share communion, it's a chance for us to say once again to God, Lord, examine me. Lord, search me. Lord, know my heart. And as God does that, for some of you, you may think, I'm living for gain that is worldly, human gain. And again, you might want to say to Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've been trying to gain my life and somehow I've been losing it. And maybe today, once again, to dedicate yourself to Jesus. Dedicate yourself to his kingdom, to his serving. To put his feet, your ambitions, your hopes, your dreams. To put his feet, your money, your anxiety, your worries. To put his feet, your children or your hope for children. To put his feet, status, success. And die to selfish ambition. And as you do that, Jesus comes and he offers us new life. And as we take bread and take the cup, And we take that into our physical bodies this morning. Once again, we can receive the gift of God that's eternal life. God, we need you. Help us to change perspective. Help us where we've got lukewarm and become comfortable. Help us to press on, forgetting what's behind, straining towards ahead, towards the goal, win the prize from you. Amen.